Blog Talk Radio.
Into the New Testament so that we know what is in the New Covenant.
that the Most High accuses us of breaking that covenant. So we want to know what's there so that we don't repeat, but we won't repeat the same mistakes that our forefathers repeated. So I pray that everybody has had a blessed week and that Yah has richly blessed you and everything that you have put your hands to, that you are walking before him circumspect, and that you are studying to show yourself approved, because we want to be right with the Most High, and we want to be able to do the work that he has assigned to us. Hallelujah. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow night is the August New Moon service, and so you want to have the necessary supplies, your meal, your wine or your grape juice, and be ready to come and praise the Most High, Elohim, and let us welcome the starting of a new month, new beginnings, with our Elohim, and go before him on tomorrow evening. Today, as I said, we are dealing with the Elohim of the blood covenant. And so we're going to be strictly in for this evening, probably in the book of Exodus. Well, no, we're going to get a couple of scriptures from Hosea, but we're going to mainly be in Exodus. After we finish this portion, then we're going to actually really go through each of the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. I want to step through those so that we can establish them and we can say, hey, yeah, we read it. It's in the scriptures. And again, as I said, some of this stuff, the rabbinical teachings on it, I don't agree with. Not all of it, but some of it. I don't agree with what they have come up with, because to me, it wasn't inspired by the Ruach. And they don't necessarily believe in being filled with the Ruach. So it's, this man's interpretation of these verses. I don't go for that. So, we want to walk through it. We want the Most High to give us what thus saith Yah concerning all things. We want to follow him in all things. So we want to go back through it and document so that we as a people know and understand what we're agreeing to. That being said, let us sound the shofar. Let us usher in the presence of the Most High. And while the shofar is blowing, you should really be praising the Most High and coming before his presence, preparing your mind that we are in his presence as we go forth tonight. We want to welcome everybody in Blog Talk and Pal Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be listening. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the only name. And if you use Jesus the Christ, I'm not going to be mad at you, but the only name whereby men must be saved. Thank you. All right. Amen. 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 Men of the ladies, uncover your heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us go ahead and turn toward the east. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today, for this is his day that we honor him in. Hallelujah. That we don't turn and do our own pleasures, but that we focus on him and him and what his word says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. Hallelujah. We magnify you, Father. We lift you up. We glorify you. We come before you humbly, Father. We submit ourselves 100% to your word, 100% to your ways, 100% to your will, Father. Hallelujah. 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 From glory to glory, thou art Elohim. And thou art Elohim all by thyself, Father. And we will not bow down to another. We will not praise another. And we will not give our glory to any other that you owe, Yah. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you today. We thank you for giving us another opportunity to come before you and to praise and worship you and to glorify you and to honor you in this your holy Shabbat. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways, and repent of our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Father, we pray for the seed of Abraham, that all that you should call in Christ, that they would obey your voice and that they would come, and that they also would keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Father, we pray that you would now turn your eyes and your ears back toward your people Israel, that you would hear our supplications and our prayers, and that you would deliver us from this captivity and gather us from all the nations of the world, as you have promised in your word. Father, now as we go tonight into the kingdom, we invite you here. Let it be you that you hear from, that we hear from, and not Brother Miles. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 46 through 53. 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 46 through 53. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thy inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, amen. We are going to dive into this. It's important that we, his people, know what we are signing into, signing on for. It's important that we understand and know what the Most High has called us to, what we have to actually do. You know, on last week when we read what we're about to read, it just became so clear and so clear in my spirit, and it bothered me, but it was still so clear that, you know, Some of the scriptures that I had read and studied and that the Most High had me to read, but until I read this one verse, it really brought clarity. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. The first, and then see, this is what we got to understand. The Most High has come down on Mount Sinai. And the first thing that he has said to Israel is, you know, that's going to be the most important thing that he says. Now therefore, Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice Indeed, the first thing, if you will obey my voice, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Let me reread that because I left something out. Because what we're covering, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, first thing, obey my voice and keep my covenant. This is an if condition. If you have an if condition, all if conditions come with a then. If I do this, then you do that. If you do this, then I do that. If then. So we see if we obey his voice indeed and keep his commandments, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The first part of that, if you will obey my voice. What he's saying is, what I tell you to do and what I tell you not to do, you have to obey it. You have to do it or not do it. First thing, not love me. Obey. Not fear me. Obey. Now, he wants us, and he came down, and he allowed the people to hear him speak to Moses. And he allowed them to see the fireball coming down and the top of the mountain melting and the trumpets blowing with so much loudness that, it really scared the people. And he wanted them to understand they truly need to fear him. Truly need to fear him. But he wanted them to obey. And in everything, he wants us to obey. And then he goes about to give Israel the rules of the covenant, the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the covenant, of the agreement. This is what you're agreeing to. This is what you say you will obey. Some of it is hard. I have to admit it, it's hard. Nevertheless, we have to obey. We can't, when he came up and told Israel, you have a zeal to follow me, but not according to knowledge. Because you went about to set up your own righteousness above my righteousness. When I said to do X, you wouldn't do X. You wouldn't obey my voice. You wouldn't obey the commandment, the judgment, how I told you to judge in this thing. You wouldn't do it. So when I'm looking, especially from spiritual wellness, and I know that our only fix as Israel is the Most High Elohim. He's the only fix for us. The world can't give us what we need as a people because the Most High chose us as his priesthood. And so the only time we are going to be where we are supposed to be and doing what we're supposed to be doing is if we are being his priest. If we are obeying his voice and doing what it is fulfilling his will in this world. So we got to always keep that up front. We got to always value who we are because we've been looking for value in ourselves amongst the world. But the Most High told us from the very beginning, if you obey my voice and break not my covenant, keep my covenant, keep the agreement that you and I have made with each other. Because it's not just his covenant, even though he made the rules of it, when we came into agreement with him and said we will do it, it became our covenant as well. And we can't change it. It's not one of those type of agreements where this is really an all or nothing agreement. You either come in and you do it all, because to break one of the rules, hear what I'm saying to you and hear what the Most High is saying. To break one of the rules was to break the covenant, was to break the agreement. So if in the contract you say you're going to do X, Y, and Z, you must do X, Y, and Z, or you forfeit all of the promises from the other party. The Most High says, if we obey his voice and keep his covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure. But if you don't do it, you ain't going to be a peculiar treasure. You're not going to be above all people. You're not going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You're not going to be, you're not going to get the promises. So our forefathers, as I said, they wanted the blesser, but they wanted the blessings, but they didn't want the blesser. They looked at his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, the requirements. And what's coming to me is they just didn't do it. They flat out refused to do it. They kind of did it. But whenever there was a judgment that they didn't agree with, they made up their own. Just made it up. No, we're not doing that. Let's go to the book of Hosea, chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of Yah, you children of Israel. For Yah has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of Elohim in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. The Most High says, hey, this has gotten so bad, like when I destroyed the earth and destroyed all the everything that breathes except for the pairs that I brought into the ark and Noah and his sons. Israel, you have become that same way again. So I'm going to make the land languish. I'm going to make it destitute. I'm going to make the animals, you know, that nothing's going to flourish in this land. Not even the sea, not even the fish in the ocean that's next to the land. Nothing, because Israel had come to the point where they were just swearing, cussing, and lying, and killing, and stealing, committing adultery. They had no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of Elohim. They were doing, it even makes more sense when the Most High said they were doing every man that which was right in their own eyes, making their own righteousness above the righteousness of Elohim. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that, well, I read that, go to verse 4. Let no man strive, nor reprove another. Don't try to correct each other. For thy people are as they that strive with the priests. Therefore thou shalt fall in a day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. See, Israel never wanted to accept that. The Most High can do away with Israel as his priesthood. And the only reason that we are still in competition, still the apple of his eye, because he chose us and he made a promise to us. Other than that, he's saying, you know, I don't like what y'all done, and you're not going to go altogether unpunished. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim, that's why we're going back into the law, into the covenant, so that we don't have a lack of knowledge. There's one thing thinking you know something. It's another thing knowing it. It's another thing going and looking at it and getting it down in you. So we don't want to have a lack of knowledge. We don't want to be, we don't want to make the same mistakes our forefathers made. You know, it would be different if it hadn't been written. But it is written. So we can read it for ourselves and say, this is what they did wrong. We don't want to make those same mistakes. We don't want the Most High to have the same accusation against us that he had against them. That is just insanity. It's craziness. It's stupidity if we make the same mistakes. And we have it written exactly what they did. We have it written exactly what the Most High accused them of. And we can't get it right. Something really wrong with that picture, if that's the case. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Now I promise you that you will be a nation of what? Priests. A holy nation. But here the Most High is saying, hey, because you have done all this wickedness, you have no mercy, you're shedding blood, you're committing adultery, you're doing your own thing, you can't be my priest. That's being fired. Okay? See that thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim. Now he passes this on to our children. I will also forget thy children. So you doing it, I'm not going to have any mind for your children either. I'm not going to have a heart for them. They're going to continue in your ways, which means they're going to continue in the curse until they can somehow, some of them get a heart for me. Some of them look and see the mistakes that were made, and they do all that they can not to make them, all that they can to correct the behavior. So, you know, when we start to read this stuff, I want us to be, number one, understand we're reading the requirements of the Most High Elohim. We are not reading the words of Brother Miles. We are reading the Holy Scriptures. We are reading what thus saith Yah Elohim and that what he had written, what Messiah went by. It is written. Messiah quoted Torah. Messiah quoted the prophets. So we can't get this wrong. If we get it wrong, then we got nobody to blame but ourselves. We got nobody to blame but ourselves. So let's go back and let's read Exodus 19 and 5 and keep this always before you. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure. Then you shall be unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. This is what I want, you to obey me and keep my covenant. And I will make you a kingdom of priests, a holy nation above all the other people on the earth. That's what I'm going to do for you. Exodus chapter 21. Now, we have already read Exodus 19 through 20. And we just sort of want to read this because we're getting an overview. We're not going to, I'm going to try not to dwell in any one area because I really want us to go back through all of this from Genesis through probably Numbers. To pull out the covenant. Because he didn't give it all to them at one time. So that we can understand what the Most High required of our forefathers. What they wouldn't keep. And everything that we read, I want you yourself to make it personal to you. And you have to answer the question. Can I do this? Will I do this? Will I submit myself to the Most High? Even when it feels like it's contrary to how I personally feel. Because see, the truth of the matter is, what he accused our forefathers of is what they didn't agree with, they made up on their own. Did their own thing. Will we do the same thing? Now, granted, as I said, I've been really before the Most High looking for the principle behind some of the laws because, as I said, we don't have oxen. So my oxen can't push your ox. And my ox can't gore somebody. But there is the principle behind the law. So the law is not done away with. The characters, the characters that are in the law, such as an ox, might change. But the principle behind the law will not change. The spirit behind the law will not change. And so that's why he says, the letter killeth. Because people will say, well, hey, you can't apply that. You can't do anything with that because it doesn't apply anymore. The spirit behind that law still applies. And we may have to look at, in our own personal lives, how it would apply. So we're not going to do away with anything except for as the Most High does away with it. But the principle behind it, the spirit behind each of those individual laws, the agreement, the commandments, we want to look at what that is. We want to make sure that we're keeping the spirit of it and the principle of it. So we don't have oxen today. We got cars. Two cars trying to occupy the same space at the same time. What, we get an accident. Cars don't think. So it's the driver behind the wheel. Did you intentionally ram me or was it an accident? Did you intentionally run over that person or was it an accident? The principle behind, because the law was still called for the same judgment. And that's why we have to also be in the spirit of it. Exodus chapter 22, starting in verse 1. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it and sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. The same way as if he stole anything from you. If somebody broke into your house and they got caught, and let's say we were up under the law of the Most High. Let's say we were in our own communities. Then that person, if they didn't take no life or anything like that, but they took your goods and they sold it, and it was proven that they took your goods and they sold it, then by this scripture, they should at least have to restore to you 4 or 5 times what it was worth. 4 or 5 times. So they came into your house, they stole your $700 stereo. They got caught. Restitution to you would be 4 times $700, $2,800, or 5 times $700, $3,500. Either or. And that would actually be up to you, what you wanted. But the minimum would be 4, the max would be 5 in that principle. So I hope we can see and understand what I'm doing here with the law, the spirit of the law and the principle of it, so that we can obey the Most High, that his judgment. He says, hey, they stole something from you. Back then it was an ox. It was your car. It was your stereo out of your house. It was a bed. Whatever it is, he's saying, hey, they get caught. They didn't hurt anybody in the house, but they got caught. Because if you caught him in the house, by the scripture, you had the right to kill him. But you didn't catch him. They got away. They got your goods. They got caught afterwards. It's proven that they were your goods, but they had sold them. You can't get them back. That person is responsible for restitution. Not just to go spend jail time and your stuff is gone, but by the laws of the Most High, they were supposed to pay you 4 or 5 times what they stole. Verse 2, if a thief be found breaking up, that means they're in there, and be smitten that he died. So you are asleep in your bed, middle of the night, somebody breaks in, you pull out the gun and shoot him. According to the Most High, they deserve that. You caught them in the act of coming in on you. Or you came home, opened the door, surprised them, they're trying to run away, and you kill them. There shall be no blood be shed for him. Because you caught him in the act of doing something illegal. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. For he should make full restitution. In other words, he didn't die. He still got to make full restitution. And if he have nothing, then he shall be sold. Now, we don't sell people today. But that's really what prison is all about. Because when you go to prison on a felony, you are relegated to slavery, third-class citizenship. That's slavery. You don't work. They don't work they don't work for the person that they harmed. They're working for the state. The person that they harm has still got no restitution. Only the fact knowing that they went to jail. So these principles are coming from the Most High. Then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be an ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. So he didn't get to sell it. He didn't get to get rid of it. You got your goods back. He's still supposed to pay you what? Double. So as a minimum, hey, you for your inconvenience, for you perpetrating on this person and coming in and doing this thing, you have to pay double. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, and shall put his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, or the best of his own, of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. So somebody come in and they harm you in some type of way. They take from you. They cause your property to go down. Then the best of theirs, they're supposed to give to you. The best of theirs, whatever they got, they're supposed to give it to you to make restitution. If fire break out and catch in thorns so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled or lit the fire shall surely make restitution. In other words, you got to take responsible for your actions. Now, again, a lot of these things, it's the principle and the spirit behind the law. Most of us we're not on farms, we're not farmers, we're not herders. But we can still apply these things in everyday life as far as our relationships go. So what? Somebody can't come on the farm and eat up your goods or have their cattle to graze on your land. But there are other ways that this will apply. We just have to understand the spirit and the principle behind it and understand what the Most High's judgment concerning how it should be rectified. He says double, 4 or 5 times in some cases. If you kill the person breaking into your house, the blood is not on your hands because, you know, this person is breaking into your house. Let's continue. Verse 7. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. So, you know, I come and I say, hey, can you hold this for me? You say, yeah, I'll hold it for you. I come back and you ain't got my stuff. And you say, hey, somebody must have stole it. Somebody stole it, man. Somebody broke in and stole your stuff. I said, all right, if that thief be found, then that thief is supposed to pay me back double. Okay? If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought before the judges to see whether he has put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. In other words, I let you hold my stuff, and then now you're going to take my stuff. And you're going to tell me that somebody else stole it. But then they come around and, you know, we go to court, and it be found that your story is not really plausible. You know, you've been hemming and hawing, and maybe you find it a little bit hard to tell a lie, but it's showing that you told a lie. And the judge don't believe you. If the thief, let's go, for all manner of trespasses, for all manner of trespasses, whether it be for an ox, for an ass, for a sheep, for raiment, for clothing, or for any manner of lost thing. So we can lump everything under for any matter of lost thing. We may not have an ox or an ass or a sheep, but we got to catch all there. Any manner of lost thing, which another challenge to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, find guilty, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep it, and it die, or be hurt, or driven away, and there no man seeing it, meaning there was no witness, then shall an oath of Yah be between them both. In other words, we're going to swear on the Most High that we telling the truth. That he has not put his hands unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept. So this situation comes up, and one of my ox, one of my sheep, one of my possessions gets killed or it's hurt, and you say, hey, I ain't had nothing to do with it. You're going to take an oath on the Most High that you had nothing to do with it. Then I have to accept that. Because I have to believe that you wouldn't witness falsely using, you know, on the Most High. The owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. So the man say, hey, I didn't have anything to do with it. He don't have to make that good. And if it be stolen from him, he will make restitution unto the owner thereof. So if he's saying, hey, it died, he's not going to make restitution of it. If he says stolen, then he was responsible. He has to make restitution. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for a witness. And he shall not make good that which was torn. In other words, you know what, dude? A wild animal got to your stuff. And, you know, I understand that I was holding it for you, but I ain't got nothing. I can't do nothing about that. The Most High says it's not his fault. I'm not going to make restitution for it. Bring it as a witness that what you're saying is true. And if a man borrow out of his neighbor, and it be hurt or died, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. So you borrow something from me, and something happens to it. It gets broken, it gets hurt, it dies, and I'm not with it. Then you borrowed it, you're responsible. You're to make it good. But if I came with it and you were using it like I was renting it to you, then he says that, hey, if it got damaged or whatever, it came at the, it got damaged. And you were rented to me for 100. If it got damaged according to the Most High, then you got your due out of, you were with it and it was being used for rental. And that's all the payment you get. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be a hired thing, it came for his hire. So you were renting this to me for $100. It got damaged. Doesn't matter how much it was worth. The fact that you were renting it out, that's your pay for it. If it didn't get damaged, then you will be up money. These are his judgments. Because, you know, we'll be like, man, that thing cost me $1,000. You owe me $1,000. Most I say, no. You were renting it out. It came for its rental. That's all you get. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed, she's not engaged, because betrothed means to be engaged. You know how we have a man propose to a woman, would you marry me? And she says yes. He puts the ring on her finger and they're engaged, but they have not gone through a formal ceremony. That's betrothed. And he lied with her. He shall surely endow her to be his wife. Endowed. That means that there's a bride price. That means that there's a transaction, a ceremony. And she has to become his wife because she's not his wife. And so these brothers that are telling the woman, hey, we sleep together, you're my wife, they're lying. They're just trying to get you for nothing. And the Most High says, there's got to be an endowment. You just don't get to do that. And then she can become your wife. Now, if she's in her father's house, if her father utterly refused to give her unto him, because he did what? He enticed her. She had to be willing. He shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Still don't say that she becomes his wife. Because the father has refused. I'm not giving you my daughter. I'm not transferring headship to you. The dowry was to help take care of her. Because now she's not a virgin. And if he gives her to another man, and the man says, I found your daughter not to be a virgin, what was supposed to happen? Especially if she tried to portray herself as one. She tried to deceive him. I think it would be different if she came to him and told him, yeah, you know, I'm not a virgin. So we're not going to be able to produce that token of my virginity if you want me to be your wife. And if he accepts, then there's nothing he can really say. But if she tried to fool him, I'm still a virgin, he'd say, hey, I found your daughter. She wasn't a virgin. She was supposed to be taken and stoned. That's what that dowry is for, to help take care of her. See, because we don't, but because we're not living by the commandments of the Most High, and because this is strange to us, especially today, we might find this hard to do. We might find this hard to believe. We might find this hard to actually commit to. But this is what we are committing to, at least for right now, until we find out what changed, if anything. This is what Israel wouldn't do. This is where they start making up their own stuff. This is where brothers start lying and you know, our women start being, I don't know if you want to call it desperate, wanting to be married, wanting to be in a relationship, didn't want to, you know, go through the formal things. Maybe, you know, you don't really have to teach kids about sex because the body has some natural things and, you know, natural curiosity. And so, and different children are different. So you might have one that's willing. And the right guy comes up and entices her. But the truth of the matter is, the honor is supposed to be in the culture. The integrity is supposed to be in the culture. It's not supposed to be a common thing. So when this happens, it's not supposed to be common. So the Most High says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. If you know somebody's practicing witchcraft, you certainly, in the land we're in, we can't kill them, but you certainly ought not to have anything to do with them. I'm talking about nothing. But the Most High said that they should what? Not live. Now, we know that Israel wasn't killing them because it always was a commandment for the kings to go out and to clean the land of this type of person. Even Saul. Saul had done what the Most High said to do, clean the land of all the witches. But then there was some in the land of Endor. He wanted to speak to the Most High. He went and looked up a witch, knowing that he was supposed to kill him. And the witch knew he was supposed to kill him. You have fooled me. You are Saul. And he says, don't worry, don't worry. I'm not going to hurt you. So he's in disobedience to the Most High. Because the Most High said, suffer not a witch to live. So understand that this is his judgment. This is what he said should happen. And we're in a land where, you know, in a time, but I don't really think the land or the time matters. The truth of the matter is, these are his judgments. This is what he says is righteous to do. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. I remember, you know, I thought I had my kids' computers. I thought they'd been on the internet since they were little. And I wanted them to come up, you know, in the technology so it wouldn't be strange to them. And I thought I had their computers secured so that, you know, no questionable stuff could come in. And anything that they saw on their computers, I could see. So if they were trying to do something, you know, they ought not do, I would be able to see it. And make sure, hey, you know you ain't supposed to be doing that. No, you can't talk to that person. That kind of stuff. Well, they went on Nick Jr. Nick Jr. is a kid site. And they went on Nick Jr. and they typed in farm animals. And what came up was bestiality. Women doing and men doing stuff with animals that you just would never imagine somebody would do. And so I'm wondering why they're not on the computer. They didn't come and tell me. Because I think they thought I would think it was them. So I'm looking at it, I'm like, good grief. And it was this type of porn that the more you click on it to try to close it, the more it opened up. So then we had to have that talk. But you know, people are still doing this today. Today. So this is nothing new. The Most High said they were supposed to be what? Put to death. You got people celebrating this stuff, languishing in it, reveling in it. running toward it. Most High says it's a death sentence. He that sacrifices unto any god, say or except unto Yah only, he shall be utterly destroyed. That also means to be killed. So if you found somebody in the land sacrificing to another Elohim, worshiping another Elohim other than the Most High, he said they were supposed to be killed. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. The Most High said, I don't want you taking advantage of strangers in the land. You got somebody coming through, passing through the land, or somebody wants to come and live here, and because they're not part of you, you want to be all thank to them. You want to, you know, not do business with them. You want to not sell to them. You want them to go in the back door. He said, don't do that. Because you were once strangers in a land yourself. So don't vex somebody who's a stranger in your land. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Now, you know, we got people who, if they find somebody that is less fortunate than them, a child or a female or a widow, they're not genuinely trying to help them. I'm not saying everybody. It's not a hard and fast rule. But you got those elements in society that will try to take that young kid and turn him into a thief, turn him into a prostitute, use them for whatever because they know that they are less fortunate. And they'll try to take advantage of the widow. Maybe she saved up some money. Maybe she's got a little bit of this. Maybe she don't have anything. The fact of the matter is these are all people that really only have themselves to count on. He says, so be a helping hand to them. Be a help to them. Don't vex them. Don't try to make it hard on them. Don't try to abuse them. So let's read what he says about this. If thou afflict them anywise, in any way, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot. I get angry about you messing with the fatherless, the widow, and the homeless. I get mad about you, you know, trying to take advantage of those less fortunate. And I will kill you with the sword. Now hear what he says. You're vexing somebody who either don't have a father, who is alone in the world, is a widow, don't have anybody else to depend upon. He says, I will kill you with the sword and do what? And your wives shall be widows and your children shall be fatherless. So you want to vex them? I'm going to make your family put you in that situation. So don't do it. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a user. You can loan it to him, but you can't charge them and say, oh, well, you borrowed $10, you got to pay me $11. No, you borrowed $10, you pay back $10. You can't charge them usury. Can't charge them interest. Neither shall thou lay upon them usury. Usury is a fee for the loan you gave them. You can't do that. So you come borrow money, you borrow 100, you pay back 100. You go to one of those payday loan places, they'll be charging you 21%. Go sell the title to your car or take a loan out on the title of your car. Don't pay it back. They take your car. But most of us, we can't be that way with our own people. cannot charge them usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment, his clothing, to a pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by the sun, by that the sun goeth down. This is like a real temporary loan, because you got to give it back to them before the sun go down. Because the Most High says, for that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, his covering for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? Now, you know, different days today, same principle. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. Most High says, I'm going to answer their prayer. So you kept their clothing. Maybe you're going to find yourself homeless with just a single pair of jeans and a shirt to wear. We'll put you in the same boat. Thou shalt not revile. This means to go against the gods. Now, this has gods in lowercase. This really means people who are in charge. So let's talk about this word God for a minute, because I think that we make this, I don't think we have a real understanding of this word, God. In its absolute definition, per the scriptures, a God is anyone or anything that has power and authority or is given power and authority. Let me repeat that again. A God is anything or anyone that has power and authority or is given power and authority. That's what God means, scriptures. So when we say the Most High God, we're saying the Most High being with the Most High power and the Most High authority. You can't get any more powerful than the Most High. You can't have any more authority than the Most High. You can't go above him. That's why when the scripture says, when he gave us the word of the Most High, he says, did you not know that you are God? I'm giving you power and authority. So we don't want to make this, we want to have a clear understanding of what the Most High is saying. You shall not revile the gods. You shall not revile those that are given power and authority. And then he goes on to say, or curse the ruler of thy people. Because the ruler of your people has what? Power and authority over you. Not supposed to revile them, talk against them, or to curse them. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits. Now, let me go back to this 128 again. This means that we're supposed to be in submission to the powers, whoever the Most High puts in authority. Not supposed to be tossing against them or cursing them. Supposed to be praying for them. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. The firstborn sons of Israel were supposed to be dedicated to the Most High. They were supposed to go into the priesthood. Later he changes that and just trades one for one, one Levitical priest for a firstborn. But we'll read that as well. But right now, you were supposed to dedicate your firstborn son to the Most High, to be in his service. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with the dam. The dam is the female. And on the 8th day thou shalt give it to me. So you get sacrifice it to Yah, or give it to him to, before, so that it will grow to be a year old. Like let's say the Passover lambs. You could take them from the dam at 7 days old, but they wouldn't be sacrificed until they were a year old. They wouldn't be eligible for the sacrifice. Likewise, no, verse 31. And you shall be you shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn of beast in the field. You shall cast it to the dogs. In other words, if you're the priesthood, you couldn't just eat just anything. And if it was not killed correctly, if it wasn't butchered right, if you found it dead on the side of the road, you couldn't eat it. You know, when people were poor and they came across an animal that had been killed, let's say it was an oxen, and they got attacked by wolves, they were hungry, they'd be cutting off that meat and taking it home and eating it too. Mosiah says, you can't do that. If it's been torn of beast, means that it was killed by another animal, and you came and you scared the animal away, and here it is, this big old cow, got one bite out of it, it was disqualified to be yours. You couldn't cut that bite area off. Oh, it bit the leg, so I'm going to cut the leg off, I'm going to take the rest. No, you can take any of it. But see, we try to justify it. Man, all that meat, God says, you're my people, you can't do that. Exodus chapter 23. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. In other words, don't be getting with somebody and lying for them. You're going to lie because it's your friend. You're going to be on their side and you're going to tell the story to benefit them. You have made yourself what? An unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. But the Most High is saying this, no mob violence. You know how they used to get together and they would hear that, oh, a black man raped a white woman. And all the men would get together and they would create a mob and they're going to overrun the law and they're going to come and get this person. They're going to hang them. They're going to have mob justice. The Most High says, don't do it. Neither shalt thou content a poor man in his cause. This means to actually be on his side simply because he's poor. If he's not doing what he's supposed to do, then you got to still render the same judgment. If the Most High required that a shekel be paid, even if you were poor for your redemption, you had to pay that shekel. You had to come up with it, that shekel. So you're not gonna render judgment unevenly just because they're poor, one way or the other. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and the righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. You are, as we read in earlier passages, you break into somebody's house and they kill you, your blood is on you, thief. I'm not going to justify you. I don't care how hungry you were. You broke in, you put it and took it upon yourself, you got killed. Your blood is upon you. That blood is not upon that person because you were doing something wicked, and I'm not going to justify you. Let's see. Okay, verse 4. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, this is your enemy, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. I don't like sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. And this is their ox out of his field. I ain't taking it back to him. Mosiah says, take it back to him. If thou see the ass of him that thou hatest, thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help him. even if you're, you don't like this person. Mosiah says, my judgment is that you should still help them. Thou shalt not rest the judgment of the poor in his cause. Keep thee far from a false matter. Read those. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise, and perverteth the words of the righteous. In other words, don't let nobody bribe you. Don't let nobody, because they gave you a gift, sway your judgment to cause you to bear false witness, to cause you to fall on somebody's side in a matter that you know that the person that you're following their side, they're not really correct. Don't let nobody bribe you with a gift. Don't let that gift blind you. Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt. This must be very important to the Most High. He says it twice. Don't afflict the stranger. Don't oppress them. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land and shall gather in the fruits thereof. So the land also needs to have a what? Sabbath. A rest. But the 7th year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat. So you are farming your land. 6 years you harvest it. And even in those harvests, he says, don't harvest the corners of your field for the same reason, so that the poor and the stranger that's going through the land can have something to eat. In the 7th year, you're not going to plant at all. A lot of those plants will come back up on their own. He says that's the year that the poor get to eat off your land. Verse 11 again. But the 7th year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they have leave, the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. So anything that you're growing, you're going to grow it and harvest it 6 years, but in the 7th year you're going to let it rest. You're not going to go out there and take the olives off the olive tree. You're not going to go out there and take the corn off the corn stalks in the 7th year. Whatever grows, let the poor eat it or the animals eat it. But you don't eat of it, because God's going to provide for you for that year. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the 7th day thou shalt rest, that thine ox, thine ass may rest, that the sons of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all the things that I have said unto you, be ye circumspect. And make no mention of the name of other Elohims, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. So we're not supposed to mention the names of other Elohims, and we're not supposed to do what? Let their names be heard out of our mouth. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days. As I command thee, in the time appointed of the month of Abib, the month of Eri, for it is thou, in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. When we come to the Passover and things like that, do you know you're supposed to have an offering for the Most High? You're not supposed to do the feast and don't have an offering? Because he says, none shall appear before me empty. It's not your tithe. It's an offering. In the feast of the harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of the ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in the labors out of the field, 3 times in the year all thy males shall appear before Yah Elohim. So all the males three times a year are supposed to come before the Most High. Now, what had ended up happening? Well, I'll go into that at another time. But understand that they weren't keeping this. As Israel grew and prospered and the older it got, they might come to the Passover. They might come to Tabernacles. They might come to Pentecost. Because I want you to understand what it took. The further you moved away from Jerusalem, the harder it became for them to keep. If you had to travel 2 weeks to get to Jerusalem, that means you had to travel 2 weeks to get back. If you had to stay there a whole 7 days, a whole week, that was 5 weeks. The Most High expected them to keep this always. Let's continue. Let's see. Verse 18. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. So you couldn't eat the sacrifice with leavened bread, the Passover, and none of it was to remain until the morning. You couldn't put it in baggies or Tupperware and eat it the next day. We're going to have leftovers tomorrow. Thou shalt not seize a kid in his mother's milk. That means don't take the calf that you just took from this mother, kill it, and cook it in her milk. That animal is not dumb. And if you got dogs or anything like that, you know animals are not dumb. Neither are the cattle or anything like that. They are what they are, but they still have feelings, and it still will affect the way that they are. And Most High says, don't do it. Don't cook that mother's calf in her own milk. Behold, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, this angel, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. Now this angel, we have to look and see what this, who and what this angel is. Is this a heavenly angel or is this a man? Verse 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, obey his voice and do all that I speak, because the Most High is speaking through this angel or this messenger, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. In other words, you do what I say to do, your enemies are my enemies. Your adversaries are my adversaries. Your friends are my friends. If you do what I say to do. For my angels shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. Don't ask these people how they worship their God. Don't ask them what they say to their God. Don't ask them what gifts they give to their gods. Don't ask them none of that. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. So the reason that the Most High created Israel, formed Israel, was to take them into the promised land and to tear down all the false religion. In this case, he was saying, hey, I want you to utterly destroy them. And don't worship their gods. Don't even have the name of their gods in your mouth. Don't ask them how they worship their gods, because you might hear something you think sounds good to you and you want to do it to me. And I don't want you to worship me any kind of way how they worship their gods. So even if it sounds good to you, don't do it to me. Don't worship me that way. Let's see. Verse 24. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break them down, their images. And you shall serve Yahweh Elohim, and he shall bless thy head, thy bread, and thy water. And I will take away from the midst of thee. You're not going to get sick. You're not going to have any illnesses. Just follow me. I'm going to bless your bread. I'm going to bless your water. I'm going to bless your body. There shall nothing cast their young. No dead born anything. Not your women, none of your children, none of your animals, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days will be fulfilled. I said you're going to live to be 120 years old. You do what I say to do, you're going to get all of your years, 120 years, all of you. And you won't be sickly. You'll be like Moses. When the Most High told Moses to go up on that mountain and die, literally, says Moses was not weak. He was not waning in power. He was still like he was at 40 years old. But he was 120. So he didn't die because he died of sickness or old age. The Most High says, I said you will get 120 years. You have reached your 120 years. And besides that, you have tried to take my glory. And I told you you're not going to see the promised land. And we're about to enter in. Go over and look. My word stands. You got your 120 years. You are full of strength. Now, go to sleep. The scriptures are clear. Moses was not weak when it came his time. He could have kept on going, still had all his full strength, like a 40-year-old man. Time. So he's saying, hey, if y'all do what I say to do, and you don't go worshiping their other gods, your sheep, all your animals, your women, nothing's going to be barren. There's not going to be any such thing as a woman that can't have children and does not produce children. And they're going to all live. And I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto you. I mean, they're going to run away from you. And I will send hornets before you. Now, think about this. Don't matter what kind of weapon you got, whether you got a knife or a sword or a machine gun or a tank, when the Most High sends the insects and the things that he controls against you, and these things can hurt, and even if they bite you enough, kill you, he says, I'm going to clear the land out before you. I'm going to send in my hornets. And if you've ever seen a hornet, like a yellow jacket, a hornet, that sucker's about 3 inches long, thick, and they don't sting, they bite. They got big jaws. And they bite. And so when they bite you, it breaks into your skin and it hurts. And enough of them get on you, Trust me, you're not trying to stay there. One of them hits you. I'm talking about hit you because they fly fast and hard. And they will hit you. It can knock you for a flip. A hornet. Not talking about a wasp. Yeah, I'm not talking about a wasp. I'm talking about a hornet. When you get a chance, if you get a chance, go look up a hornet. The Most High says he's going to send a hornet before them. So the hornet's going to go clear out the land. You're going to have to fight nothing because ain't nobody going to be there because they're running from these hornets. Which shall drive out the Hittite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year. Why? Lest the land become desolate. If I send these hornets in too fast and clear out the land too far ahead of you, faster than you can move into the houses, then the wild beasts might multiply in the land. The lions and the tigers and the bears. They might multiply, and then now you got to contend with them. So I'm not going to do that. There's no wild animals. These people have cleared the land. I'm going to clear them just ahead of you. You're going to go into their cities. You're going to inhabit their homes that you didn't build, cities you didn't build, houses that you didn't build. By little and by little, I will drive them out from before you until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Now he left some people in the land to do two things. If the Most High is driving the people out of the land with hornets, when are you going to ever learn how to fight? So he left some people in the land so that Israel could intentionally learn how to do war, how to defend themselves. But he also left some in the land to see if they would follow after their gods. Are you going to do what I said to do? Are you going to obey my voice? Are you going to utterly destroy them and their gods? So he left some, we'll read this later on, that he left some in the land to teach them war so they know how to fight and defend themselves. And when they were going to go conquer other nations, they would know how to do it. He would still be before them and give them favor, but to also see if they would keep his commandments. So he says, I gave you these boundaries. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, anybody in the land, nor with their gods. You shall not make an agreement with them. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their God, it will surely be a snare unto you. So he's giving them, saying, hey, I'm going to give you this land from here to here. I'm going to drive the people out before you at this time, but I'm not going to drive them out too fast. So that when you go to inherit the land, you know, the land is not left vacant so long that the land starts to convert back to being wild. And then you're going to inherit houses and cities that you didn't build. Don't worship their gods. Don't come into an agreement with these people. I've already told you that you are to drive them out totally. So don't, you know, we're not on the move and you run across them and you want to start becoming friends. He said, don't do that. Exodus chapter 24. What time we got? We're at 36 after. Okay. Yeah, we should be able to finish this. Exodus chapter 24. Now, what I want us to understand, he has given Israel and told them how to judge. in the covenant. He has told them what boundaries they're going to have. This is what I'm giving you. This is what you're agreeing to do. You're not going to have no witches. You're not going to suffer, you know, anybody that steals or does wickedness. You have to judge righteous judgment. So if these circumstances come up, I'm telling you how to judge. And I'm telling you that if this is the circumstance, this is the penalty. If somebody steals something from you and they sell it and then they be found that they stole it, then they're supposed to pay you 4 or 5 times what it was worth. If you catch them with it and you get your stuff back, then they're supposed to repay you double. Even though you got your stuff back, they were still supposed to pay you double restitution. And that's to cause them not to want to continue to steal. Because the crime wouldn't pay. Man, I got to pay double. You have to pay double or leave, something like that. So he's giving them his judgment. He said, this is part of the covenant. This is the way you're going to judge. This is the way you're going to treat people. You're not going to mistreat the stranger or mistreat the widow or the fatherless or the homeless. You're not going to give loans to your people and then charge them interest. These are my judgments. This is how I want you to judge. He's not giving them an option. He's saying, hey, this is what you ought to do. He said, you promise to obey my voice. That means that whatever judgments I give you, this is how I want you to judge. Now let's watch them enter into the covenant. Exodus chapter 24. And he said unto Moses, come up unto Yah, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near to Yah. But they shall not come nigh. They shall not come near. Neither shall the people go up with him. So Moses, he's telling them, hey, you bring these up with you. You're going to come close to me, Moses. And I'm going to talk with you. But I want Aaron the high priest and his sons, and I want 70 of the elders. I want them to come up so far with you. And Moses came and told the people all the words of Yah and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, again, all the words which Yah has said, we will do. Now before they heard him, they agreed to that. Now they know the judgments and they're still agreeing. All that he has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of Yah and rose up early in the morning and build an altar under the hill with 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto Yah. And Moses took half of the blood from the sacrifices and put it into basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant that he had wrote and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that Yah has said, we will do. And do what? Be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. So now the people have entered into a blood covenant. The life of all these animals, their blood is sprinkled onto them. And they have agreed to the covenant. And if they break any parts of the covenant, if they don't do the judgments, most of them you saw, if you broke them, required death. So to break the covenant was not something that you just did. Not if you had understanding. So they have agreed to enter into this blood covenant when Moses sprinkles the blood on the altar and he sprinkles the blood on the people and on the book. the altar, the covenant, the contract, which is the book, and the people. We're all up under the same blood. We're all in agreement. Okay? And they said, all that Yah has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which Yah has made with you concerning all the words. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel. And they saw, Moses, Nadab and Abihu, Aaron, and the 70 elders, they saw the Elohim of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of the heavens in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Who laid not his hand? The Most High. You're not supposed to look at the Most High and live. These people did it. And he said he laid not his hand on them. Also, they saw Elohim and did eat and drink. Because remember, he told them when he came down, don't let the people break forth. These, they try to look at me, and I break forth on them and kill them. Now, he has entered into the blood covenant, and he don't let all the people see him. He let Moses, Aaron the high priest, and his two sons, and the 70 elders see him. And he said he laid not a hand on them. And they saw him and did eat and drink. Any other time, they would be dying. See how the Most High, we're in covenant, so I'm going to let you see. I'm not letting everybody see, but I'm going to let you see so that you can believe. And so that you will keep this covenant, so that you will enforce it. Priesthood, you will enforce what you're told to do. Elders, you will enforce what you're told to do. You know that I'm real. So once they entered into the covenant, they saw the Most High Elohim. Let's continue. And Yah said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his ministers Joshua. Joshua was Moses' armor bearer. Everywhere Moses went, Joshua went. And Moses went up into the mount of Elohim, and he said unto the elders, tarry you here for us. He didn't say tarry you here for me. Joshua was going up there too. This is what a lot of people don't pick up on. Everywhere Moses went, Joshua went. Until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of Yah abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of Yah was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now the children of Israel, all of them that were down in the valley and stuff like that, they could see the fire of the Most High on top of the mountain. But Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders, they actually got to see the Most High. Think about that. I'm in covenant with you. I'm not going to hide myself from you now. You are the leaders. And I want you to be sure. I want you to be no doubt. You heard my voice. Now you get to see me. Now, y'all going to see me, but the one that's going to come up into my presence from now on and talk to me as Moses, but also with Moses was Joshua, his armor bearer, in training. And the sight of the glory of Yah was like devouring fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up in the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So he's gone up to get the law, to get it that's on, written on clay tablets. The Most High says, I've written it for you. And he's going to teach it himself to Moses. 40 days, the tablets are already written. I need you to memorize this. I need you to know this. I need you to understand it so that you can make righteous judgments and you can teach the 70 elders and the priesthood. I'm going to show you the tabernacle in heaven. I want you to make it just like, I want you to make a tabernacle, we would read later, just like the one after the pattern in heaven. So I'm teaching you all these things so that, and putting it in you so that when you come back down, you remember every detail. Now Moses has gone up there 40 days and 40 nights. If we were to keep reading, while he's still up on the mountain and the children of Israel have just seen the vision of the Most High. They see his fire on the mountain. The Most High had even gone up. His fire, they can still see it on the mountain. Moses is up in the cloud. Maybe the fire went out. I don't know. But they know the Most High was up there just a few days ago, a couple of weeks ago. And just that quick, they corrupt themselves. Just that quick. So, you know, it has to make you wonder, what type of people were our forefathers? You see all this. You hear. You have heard the voice of the Most High, because they heard it. The Most High made sure that they heard it so that they would believe that he talked to Moses. Less than 30 days. Less than 40 days. And come on, we don't know what happened to Moses. We don't know where he went, what happened to him. Well, we just want to party. We want to get wild. And they make the golden calf. Ask yourself, if you saw all that, if you were a witness to it, even today, how long would it keep you? How long could you walk just in that? You see why I say we can't make the same mistakes that our forefathers made? You just hearing from the Most High, you're just getting his judgments, you just agreed, all the people agreed. All that Yah has said, we will do and obey. Now you've heard it. Before they said it, they hadn't even heard it. Now they have heard it. And they agree. And within 30 days or 40 days of their agreement, they have already corrupted themselves. They have already done what he said not to do. They have already gotten together and told Aaron, make us a god. Hear this. Make us a God. You just hearing from the Elohim of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth. You know where Moses is gone. You still cry out, make us a God. Make us an Elohim. Make us a golden calf. See, this calf or these golden calves are going to come up several times in the scriptures. And what you're going to find out is that our forefathers brought this calf worship with them out of Egypt. This is what the Egyptians worshipped. This is what our forefathers were worshiping before the Most High brought us out of Egypt. Hear what I'm saying to you. Don't think that our forefathers, when they were in Egypt, were pure and innocent and that they weren't worshiping the Egyptian gods, because they were. Some of them didn't, that's all they knew was Egypt. They were born in Egypt. But here it is. The Most High has just taken the time to present himself to you, give you his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, brings Moses up on the mountain to write it down. Moses has already written it down in a book, but now the Most High, I'm going to put it in stone. And you, the people, the book, the covenant, and the altar have been tied together with blood. You are in this covenant, and you have agreed to it. And within 30 days, I'm thinking it's 30 days, they corrupt themselves. They start worshiping other gods. They start fornicating. They start committing adultery, debauchery, worshiping the gods of the Moabites, having orgies. Because when it came down, it was riotous, they were really doing a lot of stuff they weren't supposed to do, not just dancing and drinking. And then they took all the jewelry, the gold that the Most High had them to bring out of Egypt, and they made a god with it. They made the image of an Egyptian god. That calf, the golden calf. So I want us to consider this. Understand that we don't want to make the same mistakes. We don't want to go through the same thing. We don't want to do what our forefathers did. We especially don't want to be disobedient. Because they agree, all that you say, we will do. All that you say, we will be obedient to. We will judge the way your judgments say to judge. We will follow the rules that you have set. Now, I have gone through and pulled out all the scriptures concerning the covenant, the law. Before we go into the New Testament, we're going to review all those scriptures. And it's going to take us a couple of weeks to go through them, maybe a month even. But we're going to go through all of them so that we can't say we lack knowledge. Don't want anybody to be ignorant. And we're going to learn what's all in this covenant, verse by verse. And then we're going to go into the new. We're going to go into the promise, Jeremiah chapter 31 and 31, and see what exactly what the Most High says he's going to do. When he gives us the new covenant, the covenant that is sealed not by the blood of bulls and goats, like the people Moses had these young men going around sacrificing all these bulls and these sheep and filling up the filling up the basins, these bowls and these jars with their blood of these animals to sprinkle on the people and to sprinkle on the book and to sprinkle on the altar, the covenant that is sealed with the blood of Messiah. What covenant is that? What are we saying that we are members of, and are we obeying? Because when we enter into this covenant, when we accept Messiah as our, lack of a better word, I'm going to use master and savior, our Elohim, when we say we belong to him, what are we entering into and what have we agreed to? Because they don't teach you that. You're in a new covenant. But what is that covenant? What is the agreement? People like to give overviews. They like to take the scriptures. What are the two greatest commandments of them all? To love the Most High with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and that's it? He says, on those two, all of the law stands. He didn't do away with it. But the spirit and the principle behind the covenant is love, loving the Most High and loving your neighbor. But that don't mean that the judgments don't stand. That don't mean that the ordinances don't stand. He says, in these two, you can frame all the rest. That's what Messiah was saying. If you wanted to water it down to the greatest, because love yourself, love the Most High, and love your neighbor. Not all. And so we have the church trying to say, well, we're not up under a law. We're not up under the law, and all we got to do is love each other. Because they don't want to read the law. It's like somebody comes up and says, oh, you're getting this new contract in your apartment, and on the contract it says free electricity and free water. And you take it so that, oh, I don't have to pay rent either. Because the electricity is free, the water is free, the rent must be free too. And you just assume that. And you don't even want to read the rest of the contract because you see free, free. And you don't read the part of the contract where, yeah, we're giving you free water and electricity, but we went up on your rent by half. So now instead of your rent being $1,000, it's $1,500. You didn't read that part. So we want to know what we are signing on to, what we have signed on to. And are we keeping it? I can guarantee you we're not. And I can guarantee you that the world has watered this thing down so much that they are placing their righteousness over the righteousness of the Most High. The world, the church, the same thing Israel did. But because the Most High chose us and we're supposed to be his priesthood, he says, you taught them how to do wrong. I'm going to have to show you those verses too. You taught them how to be wicked. The church, the world, Israel, you taught them. You taught them how to be disobedient by your disobedience. So we're going to have to look at all this so that we understand clearly what we are doing, what we are saying, what we're supposed to be doing, that we might do it. Why can't the Most High have a people that will just do what he says to do and to be obedient to him? Why can't he just have a people that does that? So tomorrow morning, I think there's going to be Sabbath evening and Sabbath morning until we finish this so that we can get into the new covenant. We're going to want to finish this. I don't want to dwell in it for a real long extended time. I want to go ahead that we go through it, come to an understanding that we might enter into the new covenant eyes wide open. And you won't be able to say to the Most High, I didn't know. I didn't hear. Nobody ever told me. I, for one, don't want to fall into the same traps that our forefathers did. I pray to Yah that we don't do that, but that we will be that obedient people to Him. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank You for Your word tonight. Father, we thank You for choosing us as a people. Father, we do not want to make the same mistakes that our forefathers made. Give us open hearts, open minds, that we might receive the word of Yah willingly, that we might hear Your word and take it into ourselves. And even if we're not comfortable, Father, that we would obey. Your righteousness over our righteousness. Put it within our heart, fathers. Put it within our heart. That we would do what our forefathers said that they would do and didn't. We will hear, we will do, and we will be obedient. As we bring it forward into the new covenant, Father, reveal to us that we might know the old and understand it, that we might know the new and understand it and accept it. Understand that what we are entering into and be Your obedient children. Father, keep each and every person safe from all hurt and harm. Keep them safe. We rebuke COVID. We rebuke anything that will come against Your people, Father. We rebuke it in Your name even right now, that it shall not touch Your people. All that are willing and obedient to You, Father, whose heart You have, protect them. They and their families, their non-believers and their families, for their sake, protect even them. Draw them unto You, Father. But let us hear Your word and be Your obedient children. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so tomorrow morning we will start the reading of the commandments, of the laws, the ordinances, only those scriptures pertaining to them. There are roughly 613 or 14 commandments in the Old Testament, the Torah. We want to make sure that we have an understanding. There are 1,050 commandments in the New Testament. So how the church feels like is not up under the law, your guess is as good as mine. But there's more laws in the New Testament than there are in the Old. Because you have the Old plus what Messiah instituted as well. His commandments directly. They were not suggestions. And that's what a lot of people get mixed up at. He wasn't suggesting anything. What he was saying was to do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. He gave the old and the new. So we will go through the old. We will get a very good understanding. And then we will move into the new. So we'll know what changed. We'll know why it changed, and we'll know why we keep it. And just understand, if you can't understand anything else, to be disobedient or to break any of the commandments is to breach the covenant. It's to break it. To break that contract. No small matter at all. So I pray that Yah keeps you this evening. I pray that you spend some more time with him in his word before you let your eyes close tonight. I pray that you're here in the morning as we go into the laws of the Most High in detail. We're going to only read those scriptures, have some discussion about them. Are all of them easy? No, they're not all easy. But you got to understand, this is what you're agreeing to. Whatever moves into the New Testament, you're also agreeing to that. And this is what the church does not teach. That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but I can't love you any kind of way like the Most High loves you. Just be faithful and obedient to him. Shalom, family. Have a blessed evening.
need a